We are in the thick of the presidential primary season, and we're going to take a look behind the scenes with some political science students who were there for the New Hampshire primary, working for two very different campaigns. This is Florida Matters.
Support for Florida Matters comes from the Hospitals of BayCare Health System, providing more than 100 health seminars, classes, and events each month. BayCare's mission is to build a healthier Tampa Bay. Register for a complimentary health seminar, class, or event at baycareevents.org.
From the Donna Studio at WUSF Public Media, I'm Robin Sussingham, sitting in for Carson Cooper. Here to give us the nitty-gritty of what it's like to get out there in the field to work for a presidential candidate, USF St. Petersburg students Samantha Kendall and Taryn Weingart, and their professor, Judith Ann McLaughlin. She's an associate professor of political science and the founding director of the Center for Civic Engagement at the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg, and WUSF's Mark Schreiner, producer of University Beat, who reported on the students in New Hampshire for an upcoming story. So, Dr. McLaughlin, your class is called The Road to the White House and included a 10-day internship on one of the presidential campaigns in New Hampshire. You're getting the kids out of the ivory tower to see a little of how the sausage is made. So, what are you hoping that your students will get out of the experience?
Well, this Road to the White House class, it's a 6-credit class. There's 3 credits for the seminar, which is about presidential campaigns and elections, and then 3 credits for the internship experience in New Hampshire. I've worked on 6 presidential primary campaigns in New Hampshire. I've worked on presidential campaigns all across the country. I've worked at the White House. Obviously, their syllabus is rigorous and includes, much of the scholarly research about presidential campaigns. But there's really nothing like being up in New Hampshire for the First of the Nation primary. It is truly exhilarating. It is electrifying. It is exhausting. There is really nothing like it. So I could talk to them about it. They could read about it. But until they're really there, you just can't appreciate the momentous experience that it is. So they're up there working with campaigns that have been spending millions of dollars. They've been on television. They've had boots on the ground. They've been working for months. But by the time our students get up there for the last 10 days, it is just all on the line. And as we've seen since we've gotten back, after that experience, the field winnows considerably. So much is on the line, and it's a really intense opportunity for them.
So Samantha Kendall, let's talk about what it was like in New Hampshire a little bit. You both kept blogs of your experiences there. And Samantha, on your blog, you talk about learning a whole new vocabulary. And you've said, for instance, I don't even know how to pronounce this, viz, vols, turf packet.
Yeah.
Tell me
yeah.
a little bit about that.
So viz means visibility. And that was, the day of the polls, especially. I know Taryn did a lot of viz the day of the polls. Basically, you're just out in front of a polling place with signs. Obviously, you have to be a certain amount of feet away from the polling place. And then vols is just volunteers. A turf packet is basically when you are going out to canvas to knock on people's doors. They hand you a packet, and it has a map. It has names, addresses, whether they voted in the last 2 elections, what their voting habits are. And so those are like really helpful for canvassing because it kind of gives you an idea like who you're talking to. It has their age. And so, yeah, it was just a whole different ballgame up there.
So it's like a different culture with its own language even.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, things that I experienced up there, like I don't think I would ever get. Even if I worked on a political campaign down here, I don't think it would be anywhere near as similar to what it is up there.
So Taryn Weingart, talk about the politics in New Hampshire. On your blog, you quoted someone at the New Hampshire Democratic Party as saying, quote, "We don't have sports teams, we have politics."
Right.
What was
right.
it like?
Well, it's interesting. They have in New Hampshire about 400 or so state representatives. So you can meet someone in the state house who is serving their, third term as a state house rep. And also clean your carpets next weekend. So, these people are extremely involved in their community. They have other jobs. They make $200 annually. So their style of government really includes you know, the average American, kind of how the founding fathers wanted it originally. So it's a very nice change of pace. You know, there's only 1.2 million people in New Hampshire. Having 400 people who, you know, own local businesses, some are doctors, some are lawyers, some clean carpets. There was a homeless man that got elected. You really, really get the best representation of the people when you have a style of government like that. So it's a very nice change of pace compared to, you know, something like Florida, California, Texas, something along those lines.
Different than what you were used to.
Right, exactly.
So Mark Schreiner, you've reported on this class before and the students have gone. This was the first time that you actually went yourself and saw what it was like. You were at those rallies. You were in the campaign offices.
Yeah, I had the chance to get up there, Robin, for the last like 3 days of the election. I was up there on Monday and election day following the students around as much as possible. And the nice thing was, by the time that I got up there, they were so embedded into their campaigns that in some cases, new volunteers were coming in and the students were showing them the ropes, were telling them how to run a phone bank or make some phone calls or maybe telling them who to talk to or who could help them. So it was nice to see that the students had really picked up and taken a lot out of the experience to the extent that they were able to even teach other people about
that. So even in that small time, you saw them evolve a bit.
A little bit, yeah.
Dr. McLaughlin, did you see that? Did you see them change in the 10 days?
Yes.
By the time they got there and the time they left?
Absolutely. So this is actually the fourth time I've taught this quadrennial course, which is kind of hard to believe. And even though 10 days doesn't sound like a lot of time, but the truth of the matter is these are not 10 normal days.
No.
they're like 20-hour days. And when we get up there that 10 days in advance, for the first several days, really our students are able to learn the ropes, as Mark said, and by the time the big GOTV push comes, which is the final 5 days, our students have been there, they know the script, they know where everything is, and they can help when that final influx of volunteers come in from, you know, out of state.
They're the old timers already.
They are the experienced hands. And so, you know, I tell them before we go up, if you throw yourself in there and you show initiative and you're smart and you pick things up fast, you're going to be able to have a leadership role, believe it or not, by the time GOTV weekend comes around. And so that was the case this time. So I was really proud of my students.
And Samantha, you were canvassing door to door. You were out there in the snow knocking on doors. So tell me, what was that? Did you feel shy at first? Did you feel like you were intruding? What was that like?
I wouldn't say shy. It was definitely something that I've never done before, but I'm not a shy person, so I wasn't feeling shy. But the most confusing thing for me, being a Floridian, was walking up to someone's door and not knowing which door to knock on, because they have, in New Hampshire, there's basically two front doors.
Oh, the storm.
You have a mudroom door, and then you have, like, a front door, which apparently no one uses the front door. So we were knocking on the front door, and people would open it and say, this is the wrong door, what are you doing? And
so when you did reach people, were they tired of being approached already? Were they welcoming? How did most people seem?
Most people were pretty welcoming. They would, you know, let us know either, you know, they had already voted absentee or, you know, they already had a candidate in mind. And we would, you know, kind of say, well, do you mind if we ask, you know, who the candidate is? Are there any issues that are really important to you? What makes you like that candidate versus another candidate? And, you know, of course, there were the occasional, you know, doors slammed in our faces. But, you know, we took it with a grain of salt. And for every, you know, door we had slammed in our face, you know, maybe 5 or 6 more people were very welcoming and very, you know, they understand. They know that we're just trying to make a difference. And I think a lot of people appreciate the fact that we were younger people out there knocking on doors and trying to make, you know, being involved in the political community.
Robin, I just want to kind of expand on something that Samantha's saying there, particularly all the way up to the final days. There was a huge, huge percentage of voters in New Hampshire who were undecided. So a phone call or someone knocking on their door really could have been the thing that moved someone. I had a chance to listen to a lot of public radio the day of the election, and people were saying that there were times where they were literally walking up to the polling place. And the last
waiting for something to hit them.
The last sign they saw was the thing that moved them to vote for a candidate.
That's amazing.
It is.
Doesn't seem like a scientific way to make your decision.
Well,
but.
And the other thing was that a number of the students were also psychology majors, not just political science majors. We had some psychology majors in the class, correct?
Yes, we did.
So they got a tremendous lesson on the nature of human decision-making process and how to convince someone to do something.
Yeah. And I should point out, now Samantha was working on the Bernie Sanders campaign, and Taryn has been working on the Trump campaign. And I heard, Taryn, that you did take some heat for volunteering for Donald Trump. Is that true?
Yeah, pretty much everywhere, every day.
From whom and why?
From me.
You name it. Whether we're phone banking and making outbound calls, it was pretty much, I'd say my little opening, something along the lines of, good morning, my name's Taryn, I'm volunteering for Donald Trump. Click, slam the phone down, hang up on me. Or walking up to a door, making the extra effort, walking through snow up to my knees in their driveway just to, share with them about Donald Trump. And just kind of have them peer around the door, look a little scared, and then close the door before I can finish my spiel. But,
about from fellow students?
Honestly, not really. If anything, it was more like in a joking manner. But everybody, we got Trump and Bernie right here. Everybody got along extremely fine. I think part of that is because we left a lot of politics out and made it more about being friends and
meaning your group and your
right and just supporting each other. I don't really know that many other students outside of the group who really knew that I did this whole thing.
You started out wanting to work on the Ben Carson campaign.
Right.
You think it would have been different if you had stuck with that plan?
I think it would have been extremely different. However, I will say on the day of the primary, I was out at a polling place holding up signs, for Donald Trump, trying to sway those last minute decision makers. I was walking back from the restroom or something from inside the polling place, and I look over to my right and Dr. Carson's right there. And that was probably one of the top moments of my whole trip. Got a picture with him.
But you were wearing all of your Trump.
No, I was not. I made sure to get rid of that right before the picture,
So you tore off your Trump shirt and went up and posed with Dr. Carson.
Exactly.
And that was a big moment for you.
Yeah, I feel like something, I was all for interning with the Trump campaign and giving everything that I had to get every last vote for this campaign. But not being on Dr. Carson's campaign or being able to work for him, I feel like something from the trip would have been missing. So getting to meet him, getting to talk with him for a couple minutes before he had an interview with whoever really helped solidify how incredible the experience actually was, that you could literally be holding up a sign, causing a ruckus essentially, and look to your right and there's a presidential candidate who's out, trying to get a couple votes before he moves on to the next one.
I think that's the amazing thing as well about the nature of New Hampshire politics, and Judith Ann managed to get the students into a lot of rallies where they would get literal FaceTime with the candidates. And I think that's a combination of both the nature of New Hampshire politics as well as the nature of this course that Judith Ann teaches.
It must have taken a lot of organizing beforehand.
It took an incredible amount of organizing. And I want to get back to that point, but there was a couple things I wanted to jump in on. One was about the collegiality in the course. I try very hard to have a good representation of as many campaigns as possible. So I teach a lot of classes that include campaign internships. And the nature of our student body is we're about half and half Democrats and Republicans, and I try to reflect that in my classes. Now, I knew this time when we were starting the class with 15 Republican candidates, we were not going to have every campaign covered because there's just not that many seats in the van. But I was glad we had a nice representation. So we ended up with 12 Democrats and 11 Republicans, and we had students working for Bernie Sanders and Hillary Clinton, Martin O'Malley for the first day. And then he dropped out after the caucuses, so that student needed to switch gears. And then we had students working for Rubio and Bush and Cruz and Trump. So it was a good diversity. And it's nice to have the different ideologies represented, but also the different campaign styles, because each of the campaigns has a very different organizational structure, a different feel, a different activities that they're engaging in and focus. And so that's kind of when we can bring that back into the seminar later, it'll enhance their learning experience to be able to talk to colleagues from different campaigns.
Coming up,
he's single-handedly revolutionizing the way this whole politics thing is done.
I'm Robin Sessingham. This is Florida Matters. This is Florida Matters. I'm Robin Sessingham, sitting in for Carson Cooper, and we're talking about what it's like to go behind the scenes in this presidential primary campaign with USF St. Petersburg students Samantha Kendall and Taryn Weingart, their political science professor Judith Ann McLaughlin, and WUSF's Mark Schreiner. So, Samantha and Taryn, what surprised you the most during this campaign season? I'll start with you, Taryn.
Honestly, it was the way that Donald Trump ran his campaign, or his campaign manager had everything set up. A state like New Hampshire, it's very grassroots politics. You know, you're holding these rallies for like 50 to 100 people and answering the citizens' questions, scrounging for every last vote, making appearances at polling stations and whatnot. However, Mr. Trump's campaign wasn't exactly like that. It was very much mass media and ad-based. All of his rallies were massive. There was no one-on-one answering questions. And to kind of see this almost revolution in the way that campaigning is being done in these first-in-the-nation states, whether it's the Iowa caucuses or the New Hampshire primary, you know, things are definitely changing. You would think something like that would hurt him. These people take offense to not, having their baby kissed by Ivanka Trump or something like that.
But it didn't.
It didn't. I mean, with a margin, I believe it ended up being like 19%, between first and second place. It's just he's single-handedly revolutionizing the way this whole politics thing is done. And that, to me, was the most surprising by far.
What about you, Samantha?
So actually, the most surprising thing to me was kind of the opposite. Taryn talks about how big and media spectacle and that the Trump campaign was, but the Bernie campaign was total 180 from that. Every rally we went to, someone came on the stage before the political candidate and would, do this big speech about how great they are and what they're going to do to what they're going to do to help the American people and whatnot. We went to two different Bernie events. There was no one who introduced Bernie. I mean, someone would come up and say, Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, and then he would come out onto this. There was no, there was no real like flashy showmanship.
Much more informal.
It was much more informal and almost more real that way. Like he wasn't putting on a show sort of thing. It was just, it was more personal. It was just like, I am here. This is what I'm going to do for you. And that's it.
Did either one take any questions from the audience?
No.
So not at either of the events I attended.
These were more speeches then.
Yeah.
And rallies.
Yeah.
Okay.
But there were events where the students themselves were able to ask questions of the candidates. So that was the nice thing as well, is that, when they had the chance to talk to the candidate, they did have, speeches where that availability was there.
Mm-hmm. Taryn, who do you think came off the best in person?
In person?
Mm-hmm. Who maybe, you had a chance to see them in person. Who came off well and who didn't?
Mm-hmm. Good question. On a smaller scale, a more intimate setting like a town hall, I would honestly have to say that Marco Rubio was incredible. He spoke very well. He's very intense. He's very passionate. And he's a younger face. He's, somebody who can come in and really has the energy still, if you will, to make things happen. And that really resonates when he speaks. He just puts off this, I can do big things for you sort of persona.
And Samantha's nodding her head. I know you wrote some positive things about Rubio on,
yeah,
on your blog. You also wrote something that intrigued me. You said, there you were campaigning your heart out for Bernie Sanders, and you said, it's really easy to see how people can get so into the whole Trump phenomenon. So explain what you meant by that.
So Taryn was nice enough to get us all into a Trump rally, and we were actually right up front, and it was fantastic to see. But we all kind of had to, you know, put our political beliefs aside and kind of, you know, pretend that we were there to go with the flow and that, you know, people asked us and, you know, we kind of, you know, gave some vague answers. But it was crazy. It was less like a political rally and more like, I would say, like a high school football game. Like, you're cheering, people were chanting, Trump would say things and we would all yell, like, in support of what he was saying, whether or not we actually supported it. But it was kind of...
But you started getting into the spirit.
Yeah, definitely. And it was really easy to see how people, you know, could go to an event like this and kind of be like, okay, yeah, I get it.
It's just kind of fun to support Trump? Like,
oh,
it's exciting?
Sure. And... Oh, yeah. And I'm sure that that's part of, you know, the pull for a lot of people. He's this crazy outlier candidate, and you have no clue what he's going to say next. You know, you have no clue what's going to come out of his mouth. And I think people are really on the edge of their seats because of that. And it was crazy to see how, you know, he could say something like, who's going to build the wall? And everyone would scream, Mexico. You know, I mean, it was insane.
It was, think of, you know, every single NFL stadium loaded up with their fans. And then all of those people moved to one stadium. So we'll say that's like 5 million people in one stadium, and then like crunch them down to like 1,000 people oozing that same, I don't know, excitement,
obsessive,
if you will.
Energy, yeah.
It was electrifying and it was scary it was, at the same time.
Yeah. Really? It was a little scary for you, huh?
Scary in the sense that these people are so passionate and so overwhelming. Nothing that I don't think I've ever felt that passionate about anything in my life, you know what I mean? And I played sports growing up and, you know, I've taken an interest in politics, but seeing these people chanting Mexico in unison and just this massive camaraderie, I guess, between these people who don't know each other at all outside of this moment, it was definitely... It was the best sporting event I've ever been to in my life, I think.
Dr. McLaughlin, everybody's taken a stab at analyzing the Trump phenomenon. What's your take on it?
Well, New Hampshire, you know, one of the reasons I want to take them up to New Hampshire is so that they can see a place that is so emphasizing the grassroots politics, retail politics, and voters who are still till the end trying to make up their mind and want to have that chance to ask the candidates questions themselves. There's really no parallel, I don't think, to that kind of experience. Another thing that makes New Hampshire different from Florida as it relates to the primary is that in New Hampshire, the biggest block of voters are the non-party affiliated, undeclared voters, more so than either Democrats or Republicans. And unlike Florida, where we have a closed primary, where only those in the party can vote, in New Hampshire, the undeclared voters can vote in either. They can take either the Democrat or Republican ballot on the day.
Mm-hmm.
And so this undeclared voters and folks who... Well, the other thing that's different is they have same-day voter registration. So people who are not engaged in the political process, who are not involved in a political party, they are enfranchised and can participate in New Hampshire.
What do you think about Trump, though? he was talking about the craziness surrounding Trump, and people have tried to explain it and understand it. What's your take on that?
He's been able to bring in those folks who aren't, you know, regular Republican primary voters who aren't involved in politics or in campaigns typically, and now they're interested in him and what he has to say. So, you know, one thing that I appreciate actually both about Trump and Bernie Sanders is that they are bringing in people who aren't engaged. And anything, to me, that brings in new people into the political process is a good thing. I think he is exciting to people who are tired of what they think of as politicians as usual, people who are telling them things that are poll tested and scripted, and he's out there, as Taryn said, you don't know what he's going to say. I mean, I've never been, and I've been to a lot of political campaign events and presidential campaign events. I have never seen a candidate curse from the podium like we did. I mean, he was cursing up a storm, and there were children there. But, you know, we're going to bomb X out of ISIS. We're going to, you know, I've never seen such a thing. But I think, you know, to some extent, people may find this refreshing that he's, you know, saying what he thinks. He's out there. He's not scripted, clearly. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that is refreshing to people. So, you know, moving forward, you know, now that he's got a win in New Hampshire, he's still doing well in the polls nationally. And so it's going to be an exciting race moving into Florida.
I asked Judith Ann this before we went up there, is if there's ever been in previous years a student who just, you know, after doing it said, no, I don't like how the sausage gets made. I don't want anything to do with it.
And what was the answer?
And what was?
I can't recall. I mean, now, of course, people are coming on this experience because they really want to have the experience of the first of the nation primary, work on a presidential campaign. That's what's attracting them to the class. So it's not a, you know, random sample. But students, you know, I've had so many students who leave this class and they are getting jobs on campaigns. They're staying, you know, they get internships. They're, you know, working at the White House and in congressional offices and things like that. So I have found that, you know, it's a very inspiring experience for the students.
How do you feel, Samantha and Taryn? Was it?
I mean, for me, I'm a political science major, and, you know, everyone always asks me, well, what do you want to do with that? And, you know, before my answer was, well, I'm either going to go to grad school or I'm going to go to law school. I haven't really decided yet. But, you know, I think working on the campaigns up there really kind of like solidified like what I want to do in the political world. And I think for me, that would be working on campaigns.
You really want to be out there in the field doing it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
What about you, Taryn?
I still want to go to law school. Yeah. But one of my biggest things after that is, you know, when I'm not the kind of person that when you retire, you just sit at home all day and do nothing. I wouldn't mind being like a local circuit judge or something like that. But I definitely, this trip, I can say going into it, I had no interest in running for anything. And, you know, seeing the amount of work that these people are putting in for these candidates, you know, some of them are working 12 to 16 hour days, 5 to 7 days a week, going back to, you know, April, it makes you want to be the kind of person that these people are willing to stand behind and devote that much of their life to. Because I really think that says something about, you know, Bernie, Donald Trump, Marco Rubio, Jeb Bush. These people are literally devoting their lives. They're not getting enough sleep. They're not spending time with their family. They can't have a family because they care so much for these people and believe in them so much. It's caused me to want to be like those people that they're willing to stand behind. And like I said, because it really says a lot about who you are and what you stand for.
Leadership.
Exactly.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you all so much for being with us. We have USF St. Petersburg students Samantha Kendall and Taryn Weingart, their professor Judith Ann McLaughlin, and WUSF's Mark Schreiner. Thank you all so much for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Florida Matters is produced by Lottie Watts, engineered by Craig George, and it is a production of WUSF Public Media. I'm Robin Sussingham, sitting in for Carson Cooper. Thanks for listening.